Okay. Freilich Chanukah, everyone. So tonight's topic is about lighting the Ner Chanukah in shul. So most shuls, most congregations have the minute to light between Mincha and Ma'ariv. The reason why they light between Mincha and Ma'ariv is because that's when you have the most people there. For Mincha, before Mincha, not everyone is there. You usually have the greatest Roivam Hadras Melech. You normally have the biggest Persuminisa between Mincha and Ma'ariv. Before Mincha, not everyone's there. After Ma'ariv, people are leaving. So they light between Mincha and Ma'ariv. So this minhag, it's a minhag, is brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Chanukah, Simen Tafresh Ayin Aleph, so the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Ubebeis HaKnesses Manichu Bekoisel Dorim. So in Shul, you should put the menorah along the southern side, the southern wall. And the reason for that, the Poskim say, is because that's where the real menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was situated, in the southern side. Umadlikin Umavarchin Mishim Persumei Nisa. And the Shulchan Aruch says, without any chaylek, without any dispute, or without bringing any other opinion, he says the custom is to light the menorah on the southern wall. We light it in Shul for Persumei Nisa, and we recite all the brachas. We recite the Lahadlik Ner Shul Chanukah, the Sha'asa Nisim, and the Shechayonu on the first night. It's just interesting because the Trumas Hadeshin, he brings two different minhagim. If the menorah should be facing from north to south, the way it is in most shuls, right? Or from east to west in most shuls, or should it be facing north to south, right? Parallel to the eastern wall. So that depends, the Trumas Hadeshin explains, on the Machlekes Tanoim in Menachos, how the menorah was situated in the Beis HaMikdash. So when we light it in shul, we're mamish trying to simulate, to remind ourselves of how the menorah was in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramah explains, Ein Adam Yoytze B'Neiris Shul Beis HaKnesses, that of course one cannot actually be Yoytze his obligation with the Ner Chanukah lit in shul, but Tzorach Lachzor L'Hadlik B'Beisai, one has to relight when he gets home. Now, in item Beis, so I wanted to emphasize, Yesh Lahadgish, I wanted to emphasize that the Rambam does not bring this custom at all. If you go through the entire Rambam, Hilchos Chanukah, he does not mention at all the minhag of lighting the menorah in shul, certainly not making a bracha. We'll talk more about that soon. Now, if you go through the Beis Yosef and you go through the different Mefarshim, so they question the source of this minhag. So the Shibboleth Leket was a Rishon. See, in Inyan Chanukah, the topic of Chanukah, Simen Kuf Pei Hei, so he's nitchak betam minig zeh. He doesn't know the reason for this minig. Why do we light in shul in the first place? And certainly, how do we have the right to recite a bracha over a menorah that nobody's being yotze with? There's no zecher in the Gemara.
Some say a mitzvah of Re'iyah.
So, mitzvah there too. Yeah, but we only recite the bracha of Re'iyah. So that's a very good point. If you're not, so the Mefarshim say, if you're not planning on lighting at home, the Rishonim say, which is how we paskin, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, then there's a bracha, so Birkas HaRe'iyah, a Birkas HaRoya, for Chavivas. If you're a homeless person, a person doesn't have, he's not planning on lighting, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if his wife is lighting at home, he does not make this bracha. It's only if no one is planning on lighting, he's not going to light at all, then he recites a Birkas HaRoya. But it's not going to help here, because you can only recite a Birkas HaRoya over a real menorah, right? We're questioning here that this is not a real menorah, because nobody's being yoytze with this menorah at all.
It's like pretend.
It's pretend. So it's a custom, it's a minhag. So you wouldn't even be allowed to recite the Birkas HaRoya on such a menorah, because no one's being yoytze with it. It's not a real menorah. So why are we lighting it in the first place, and how can we recite a bracha?
How are we making pretend brachas?
Exactly. How can we recite a bracha and say Hashem's name if there's no clear source for it, right?
So why is not Yotzei in shul? Because it's not beto, it's not abai?
Exactly, it's not his base. You have to write it, you have to light it in your makam dira. So the Shibboleth HaLeket questions this, and this is a quote now from the Shibboleth HaLeket. He says the following, Gam anu noegim lahadlik b'beis HaKnesses. So the Shibboleth HaLeket, the Rishon, he says, we also have this custom to lighting shul. B'lo yodanu shorish v'anav l'minik hazeh. I'd have no idea what the root of this is, what the shorish or anav, an expression. There's no roots to it, there's no branches to it. It's not grounded at all. He says he doesn't understand the minik at all. Now he continues, Meiri Rabbi Yehuda Achi, my brother, my teacher, Rabbi Yehuda, hayinimna melahadlik Dlika, he would always be reluctant. He would refuse to be the one to light Shaloi Levorach Aleo, because he didn't want to make a bracha. V'chein Daiti Noita, and that's my opinion as well. So the Shibayli Leket argues on what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that I recognize there is such a minig. I have no idea the basis of the minig, and I would never light it myself because I don't want to have to make the bracha, because he disagreed with the minig.
That's probably explained the Rambam Shita.
Oh,
he's not mocha either.
Right. So being that everybody is lighting at home, what's the purpose of lighting in shul? Now, the Shibayli Aleket starts giving us some options. He explores various options.
You say that if the reason is Pursume Nisa, that's what brings the reason for the...
That's a Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, that's a Shulchan Aruch. But the Shibayli Aleket says, where does it come from? So now the Shulchan Aruch like explores various options. Ilu hayo orchin yeshenim beis hakneses. Imagine if, like in the old days, right. And we're going to soon see that day. Some people compare this minig to kiddush that we make Friday night. So if orchim, if people would sleep in the shul, hayu heim tzrichim lahavlik, then they would have to light just because they're guests here and they're sleeping in the shul guest house, whatever it is. So they should have to light. The kaimalon achsanoi chayiv b'ner Chanukah, because an achsanoi, a guest, even though he's not home, he's chayiv in Ner Chanukah. So why are we lighting? Are we lighting to accommodate the guests? But then they should have to light themselves. V'im ein sham orchin, and if there aren't any guests, matzarech lahadlaka, then why are we lighting at all? So now, says the Shibayli Aleket, and he basically has a last resort, but ultimately he rejects the minig. Shema b'pnei shehi beis dira l'chazen ha-kneses, b'beis ha-kneses no'agu kein. Perhaps the reason why there's a menorah being lit is this is some kind of ancient minhag when the chazen ha-kneses, like the gabai, we use the word chazen to mean the shliatzi, but the word chazen really meant the one who would oversee. Chazon means to see. The gabai would oversee. Maybe he had a little room there, and he slept there. However, nowadays, the less behu based era, where we don't find that the gabai sleeps in the shul, he doesn't have an apartment in the shul, ein lahavik, so the Shibayli Aleket rejects the minik. We should not be lighting a menorah in shul because there's no basis, nobody's being yotze with this, and although he recognizes there is such a minik, he would be reluctant, he wouldn't light the menorah himself, he doesn't want to make a bracha. Now, the kolboy, and this is also brought in the early poskim, Simen Mem Dalet, the Kolboy brings a few reasons for this minig. He ends up having three reasons here, and we're going to soon see as we go through this that the different reasons perhaps have different nafkaminas lahalacha. So the Kolboy says the following: Noagu kol amekoymis lahadlik ner Chanukah b'beis hakneses. Number one, lahoytzi mi she'enu baki u'she'enu zaris bezois. One reason is to be moitzi someone who's not an expert, and we'll see. The poskim question, like, what's such the expertise to light a candle? Why does that require such expertise? So perhaps he means people who don't know how to make the bracha, or they're not zaris, they're not going to do it. So we light it in shul, and we're gonna talk more about that first reason. Reason number two, gamki hu hider mitzvah upirsam hanes. Another reason to light, which is really what the Shulchan Aruch said, was because it's pirsumei nisa to light it barabim. And the third reason, says the Kolboy, zecher lemikdash, like we mentioned earlier, that we light the menorah on the southern wall against the southern side. And the Trumas Hadeshin speaks out that the way you put the menorah facing east or west or north and south depends on the opinions how it was situated in the mikdash itself. So therefore, we're lighting the menorah in shul to remember how they used to light the real menorah back then in the base of mikdash. Now, the first reason of the kolboy is not clear at all. The first reason was we light the menorah to be moitzi somebody who's not an expert or who's not careful, he's not going to do it. The question still remains, but how can you be, and how can you be yotze with this, right? How can you be yotze with it? The question still remains, it's not his home, how can we be yotze with this? The second reason is more understandable, that there's a minig of pirsim anes, but also it's hard to understand because how can we just make up a minig for pirsim anes if that's not what the halacha requires? And the third reason, zecher lemikdash, we do find zecher lemikdash, but again, it's hard to understand how this minig evolved on its own of zecher lemikdash if there's no mention of it at all in the Gemara or in the Rambam earlier
part. And why only do it on Chanukah?
That's a good point. Now, actually, some people, they compare it to the Ner Tamid, which was Zeicher to the Menorah. So we do have, shuls do customarily have, they used to light candles, cover the basic necklaces. There's a story the place can bring, that there was once a Rav, in the early days, hundreds of years ago, when they had a Chanukas HaBeis HaKnesses, they inaugurated a shul, so he went up and made a bracha, Lahadlik Ner Tamid. And most of the Paiskim at that generation held it was totally a bracha levatala. There's absolutely no source for such a bracha at all. Wow. But they used to light candles in the shul also, zecher to the Ner Tamid. Now the Beis Yosef, Simin Tov Resh Ayin Aleph, who brings a lot of these Paiskim, so he writes the following, Nira Shetiknu Kein Mipneha Orchim, that yes, we light the menorah in shul because of the guests, She'ein Lehem Bayis Lahadlik Bay, who don't have a house of their own. If you remember, the Shiboli Aleket, he mentioned this idea, but he questioned it because the Achsanoyim should have to light themselves, and what if there aren't any guests? But the Beis Yosef reinforces this reason, that the original takana was because of the Orchim, ukemoy sheteknu kiddush beBeis HaKnesses mishum Orchim, just like the minig was established to make kiddush in shul because of the Orchim, the achlu v'shashu beBeis Knesset. So that's the expression of the Gemara in Psachim, that they used to eat and drink their Shabbos meal in the shul. So we would make kiddush just as a matter of course for the Orchim who would be in the shul, and the kiddush would be mitzi the people in shul. So perhaps, says the Beis Yosef, that we would light menorah in the shul because there are Orchim who are staying in the shul. The chain kos of hakolboy, and that's what the kolboy says. So the paiskim said, but that's not really what the kolboy said. The kolboy, the first reason of the kolboy was sort of like a hard to understand reason, that the reason is because people aren't going to be careful. So the Beis Yosef seems to be understanding that first reason of the kolboy, that we're lighting the menorah to be moitzi the guests. And now the Shiboli Leket brought this, but he rejected it because how come the guests aren't lighting themselves? So that's probably how the Beis Yosef's understanding, because the guests don't know how, or they're not going to do it. We can't rely on them. So therefore, we light on behalf of the guests.
And that's what Mitam Arvis? Is that still
right? Mitam Arvis. So yeah, it's Mitam Arvis. In other words, if you remember in a previous shir, if you're lighting the menorah for somebody else, normally a shliach does the mitzvah and recites a bracha, but the halacha says, the poskim say that if you're lighting a menorah for somebody else, interestingly enough, you do not make a bracha unless the one who you're being moitzi is there, right? So you can make it for him and he'll say amen as an arvus, doing helping him with his mitzvah. And that's apparently what the Beis Yosef is learning up the kolbay is happening over here. We're lighting the menorah for the purpose of the orchim who are in the shul. Now, so I wrote here, v'hainu dehevin tam harishin shubha kolbay, that when the kolbay says that we're being moitzi mi she'enu baki u she'enu zaras bezois, that he must be understanding orchim aniyim, who don't know how to light, they don't have with what to light, lulei zu hadlaka, if not for this hadlaka. So it must be that the Beis Yosef understood the first reason of the kolbay, that we're lighting the menorah on behalf of the orchim. So I would imagine, now what did the kolbay, how did the Shiboli Leket reject this? Because first of all, the orchim should have to light themselves. And second of all, nowadays there aren't any orchim, right? The very obvious questions. So it seems that the Beis Yosef is saying that it's like kiddush, right? Even though the orchim should have to light themselves, but we can't rely on them to do so. They don't know how. So we light it on behalf of the orchim, just like we make kiddush on behalf of the orchim. And why do we do it today if there aren't any orchim? So probably along the lines of the kiddush also, that somehow the minig was already instituted that we make kiddush in shul as a matter of course, even though there aren't any orchim in shul. That's why the child has to drink the wine, because nobody is really being yotzi with that kiddush at all. Somehow the minig was grandfathered in and it became part of the davening. So the same thing would apply with the menorah. It's a very like anticlimactic reason.
But kiddush really seems different in the first place, right? Because of the reasons that have been stated. But like the way you're motzi acherim in kiddush typically is different than menorah.
Totally arvis. So this shemen, the way it's working in the Beis Yosef's mind must be that this is like a public property oil. Somebody donated it to the shul. The gabbai of the shul is being zoiche in the oil on behalf of the orchim, and we're lighting and being moitzi them with a bracha, exactly like kiddush. And then nowadays there aren't any orchim, but it was grandfathered in. So we're just continuing the practice that was instituted back then.
But kiddush was originally because of anim, not right. Because of orchim.
So orchim here in this sense doesn't mean guests like what we bring home with us. It means people living
in the
shul. They slept over
in
the shul. Poor people, anim, orchim, living in the shul. We refer to them as orchim, maybe out of respect. And the same thing applies to the Ner Chanukah.
But according to the halach anim, not has a chiyuv to be mechazer after the oil?
So we're doing it for them. So they don't need to because we're being moitzi them. In other words, they're getting, at the end of the day, they're being yoitzi the menorah, right? So we can either give them money to do it themselves. The Beis Yosef understands the kolbay that they're not going to do it. They don't know how. They're not careful. So we light for them and we're moitzi them because we're mezaka them with the oil. Actually,
one question about the shul. Because the example that Rabbi Felder brings is about the svina.
Yeah.
Your putter from...
That's a Rashi. Rashi ain't Shabbos. Right.
So why is a shul with open walls and not...
Because they're sleeping. Because they're sleeping there. Uh-huh. A Sfina, the Peshat is not a livable place. Mm-hmm. But a Beis HaKnesses is considered a Beis Dira. I'll bring you a Raya because we put the Eir of Chatzeris there. You can only put the Eir of Chatzeris in a Beis Dira. So we do treat the shul as a place where people could theoretically stay. So therefore, there might be guests who are sleeping overnight in the shul. We make Kiddush for them, we light the menorah for them, and we're being moitzi them, similar to the way the original minig of Kiddush was instituted.
But I don't want to interrupt anymore. It doesn't sound like that's what the kobo means with the Mishin or the Bucky Bazaar is.
Right.
So, but maybe based on that point, it makes sense to explain the kobo that way because I'm saying an ani really has to be mechazer after all, even if he doesn't have.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That is why the Shibboleth Leket rejected this reason.
What I'm saying is that in order to interpret the reason number one of the kobo, called the Mishin or Bucky, to be referring to Anim Orchim in the Beis HaKnesses makes sense.
Right.
It sounds kind of a stretch.
I agree, based on this idea. Yeah. Because, in other words, they have to own the oil. We're really supposed to give them the oil or money to purchase the oil. And that's really what the Shibboleth Leket asked.
Yeah, yeah.
That if the reason is because of Archim, they should be lighting themselves. On that, the Kolboy would be explaining they don't know how, or they're not going to do it. They're not Zaris. So the Beis Yosef is saying that that's what the Kolboy meant, that we're supplying them with the mitzvah because of Arvis, and we'll make the bracha. So, hopefully, they'll be listening and being yotzi with our bracha, and they'll be yotzi with the menorah that were lighting in shul, assuming that there were orchim there. Now, as far as the second question of the Shibboleth Leket, but there aren't any orchim today, so the Beis Yosef seems to be saying that somehow this minig was grandfathered in, similar to Kiddush. Now, the Kshuvas Rivash, this is the Rivash everyone was waiting for. So the Kshuvas Rivash, Simin Kuf Yud Aleph. So he brings from the Shoyal, so the Kshuv, it was written in format of a question and answer. So the Shoyal asks these questions. L'hak Shoyis, l'chor ha-bracha shemavorachin on their Beis HaKnesses, ha-ri bracha l'vatala. Same question as the Shibboleth Leket, that what business do we have making this bracha? Who's being yoytzi with this benera? Now the Rivash gives an amazing answer. So says the Rivash, ha-minig hazeh l'havlik b'Beis HaKnesses, minig vasikin hu. This minig is an ancient minig. Mishim persumei nisa. It's in order to have persumei nisa, which again was the expression of the Shulchan Aruch. And this was the second reason of the kolboy. Here's the punchline. Kivon she'ein anachnu yecholim l'kayim ha-mitzvah ketikuna. Because we can't fulfill the mitzvah the way it was originally intended, because they used to light outdoors, outside, kol echad bebeisai, that each person, we cannot be yotze the proper way in our house, shehi lahanicha al pesach beisim ibochutz, which is to light outside by the door, v'kivon she'ato shiyad ha'umais tekifa aleinu, nowadays that we're subjugated and we're in galus, and we're afraid to light outside. Umadli kol echa bepesach beisem ibefnim. We have to light indoors. Ve'ein kan persumei nisa ki im lebnei beisoy levad. The whole persumei nisa is private for our individual families. Lo zehin higu lehadlik bebeisach knesses lekayim persumei nisa. So this minig was instituted to supplement what we're lacking with our own hadlaka. So this is an amazing idea. So first of all, what was the question? The question was, if we go back to the original question, the Rivash is mamish answering the original question. The question was that what's the purpose of this hadlaka if everyone's lighting on their own at home anyway, right? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of lighting in shul? Everyone's lighting on their own. That was the question. So the answer is, you know what the answer is? Because our hadlaka is missing. Nowadays, we light indoors. You're supposed to light outside. If we recall, last week we talked about whether or not the persumei nisa component is ma'akiv, is critical in the mitzvah or not. So perhaps the Rivash, the Rambam, we mentioned the Rivash, perhaps the Rivash holds that the persumei nisa element is ma'akiv. We're missing that now. So how are we yoitza? So says the Rivash, they made a minhag to lighting shul to supplement what we're lacking in our own hadlaka, in order that we should have a public persumei nisa, and we're being mekayim our, what we're missing with our own hadlaka, we're being mekayim with the shul hadlaka of persumei nisa. It's an amazing idea.
I saw a source today that I got sefer yet, but okay. That there's an, where you can't do psumim nisa outdoors, there's still an inyan of psumim nisa that we accomplish by having it inside, right on your kitchen table.
Yeah, that's the standard. Right. In other words, nowadays, that's what the Paiskim say. Nowadays, it's really from a Tosfos we had last week, mm-hmm. the Ritva, that nowadays we're lighting inside and then we're mekayim the psumim nisa indoors. But Soif Kol Soif, says the Rivash, the original takana was to have more psumim right. nisa. So we still have an element.
What about an Eretz Yisrael?
Very good. So we're going
to
talk about it.
But people used to put it like indoors, not even by a window.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct. The Mamish al Shulchan or Bifnim. Bizman Sakana.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Rivash continues. Afu Pisha Ein Mavarchan ala Minhag. So now let's address now, but how can we make a bracha? Right? So the Rivash explained why we do it. But now let's talk about how we can make a bracha. Afal pisha ein mevarchan al minig, even though you're not supposed to make a bracha on a minig. So by the way, where does this come from, this idea that we can't make a bracha on a minig? It's a gemara in Sukkah. Very good. It comes from a gemara in Sukkah that the hoshanas, that we clap hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah, so the gemara calls it a minhag neviim. The gemara discusses, is it a yisoid neviim, meaning is it a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that the neviim revealed to us? Is it like a real mitzvah? Or is it just a minhag neviim? So the gemara concludes it's a minhag from the times of the Nevi'im, and therefore we do not recite a bracha over a minhag. So that's what the Rivash is referring to, the Gemara in Sukkah, even though the halacha is we do not recite a bracha over a minhag. So the Rivash makes a distinction. Zehu b'minhag kal. That's talking about a very light minhag, a minhag that has no basis at all. Come on, minhag shel arava, the banging, the chibut arava that we do in Hashanah Rabbah, she'enu ela chavata ba'alma. It's merely a chavata. Aval b'zeh shehu lefarsim haneis b'beis haknesses barabim. But this, which he says, is in order to supplement because we're missing the Persumi Nisa of our own. We're not lighting outside. So the lighting in the shul is the Persumi Nisa. Mevarchan alav. We could make a bracha. Kemoy shenohagu levarach ala halel shel Rosh Chodesh. Just like we recite halel on Rosh Chodesh. We do chatzi halel because we don't do the full halel in order to distinguish that it's not a real halel. It's not a halacha. It's only a minig. And we recite a bracha on the halel. Afo pi she'enu ela minog. And it's not considered a bracha levatala. Ukedas Rabbeinu Tamzal, just like Rabbeinu Tam, this is a taisis in brachas, it's a taisis in sukkah. So Rabbeinu Tam says he makes this a similar distinction that when the Gemara in sukkah says not to make a bracha over a minug, that's a minug kal. That's when the minug is just a tiltul ba'alma. That's the lashon of Rabbeinu Tam. You're just handling the arav hashanas. You're not really doing anything with the hashanah. But when you're reciting a halel, which is reminiscent of the halel that we do for a takana on the Yom Tovim, you could recite a bracha even on a minug. So says the Rivash that the lighting of the menorah is a similar idea. The lighting of the menorah is supplementing the persumi nisa that we're lacking in our own hadlaka, and therefore it's not a minhag kal, it's a substantial minug, and therefore we could recite a bracha on a minhag chomer, on a substantial minug. Umikomakum, says the Rivash, ba'oisa hadlaka shel beis haknesses ein adam yoytzeba, you can't fulfill your primary mitzvah, v'tzarach lachzer o lahadla kolecha bebeisai, the mitzvah chanaka ner ish. So this is the Rivash. Now, I just wanted to point out. I think I'm gonna say it later. That like the Rivash, it also explains why the Rambam doesn't mention the minig. Because in the times of the Rambam, they did light outdoors. Mm. Right, the whole minig only came about when they brought it in. So of course the Rambam is not going to talk about the minig. Right, and of course he's not going to say to make a bracha because the minig didn't exist back then because there was no tzarek. It's only a kasha if we say, if there's such a beautiful minig of lighting in shul, right, why didn't the Rambam think of it, right? But if the whole minig was only instituted after that we lit indoors, that's why the Rambam didn't mention it. So it wouldn't be a kasha anymore.
Now the Rivash was also in Egypt, though, right?
The Rivash was a Talmud of the Ran, so he was much after the Rambam.
It was much later, though.
Right. So they started lighting out. They started lighting indoors after the times of the Rambam. So therefore, that's when this minig crept up.
It's not Rambam says generally you're not mevarech on the minig.
He does. We're going to talk about that.
He might now, have the sheet.
Very good. Hold on. Very good. No, the Rambam does not hold like Rambam. Very good. It's a very good point. Very good point. We're going to ask that. Now, the Chacham Tzvi asks what you just asked, Rav Gidon. The Chacham Tzvi in Simen Pei Ches asks on the Shulchan Aruch, Ksas Kasha, because the Shulchan Aruch brings to light the menorah with a bracha, and if the source is, among others, the source is the Rivash, and the Rivash compares the bracha to Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, which is the Minhag. Lefi Maskanas HaShulchan Aruch Tav Chaf Beis, which is Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Shaloi Levorach HaHallel D'Reish Yarcha, not to recite exactly what you just asked, not to make a bracha on Hallel, Im Kein Azda Lo Rayas HaRivash V'mashav Varchan Al HaBlachas Nerchana Kanaka V'Beis HaKnesses. So the whole proof of the Rivash, the whole precedent that the Rivash cites to make a bracha on Hallel, like Rabbeinu Tam, because you can make a bracha on a substantial minig, it doesn't exist in the worlds of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, that you don't recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. What bracha does Sfarim make? They make Ligmor Esahal, right? We only recite the bracha only on Hallel Shalom. Ligmor Esahal. They only recite the bracha over a complete Hallel, and even the bracha itself indicates that Ligmor Esahal. They don't recite a bracha at all on a Chatzi Hallel, and the Shulchan Aruch passes like that. They do.
Yeah,
Rabbi Avigdor told me that. Yeah, so some Sfaradim do. But the Shulchan Aruch himself paskins not to. So how could the Shulchan Aruch paskin that you recite a bracha on the minig of the Ner Chanukah in Shul if the whole basis of reciting a bracha over a minig, the example given was Hallel, and we disagree with Hallel altogether? That is the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi, exactly what you asked before, Rabbi Gidon. Af she'enu ela minig, chari kol rayasai, because the whole proof of the Rivash was enu ela mibirkas Hallel the Rosh Chodesh v'kiv in shehu zal. Since the Shulchan Aruch sober paskins like the Rambam, the Ein mevorchin al hal d'rosh chodesh. Amai pasak hacha. Why does the Shulchan Aruch paskin that you make a bracha on the halacha of Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses? So umasik hasam, and the Chacham Tzvi concludes that the proof is that the Rambam himself doesn't make a bracha because he doesn't bring this minig at all, which we already debated that. Okay, so that's the Chacham Tzvi's kasha. So the Chacham Tzvi doesn't have a problem with the Rivash, because the Rivash himself says that you do recite a bracha over Hallel. So he has a precedent, Rabbeinu Tam, that you could recite a bracha on a minhag. But the Rambam himself and the Shulchan Aruch himself, who paskins that you don't recite a bracha over Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, because you don't recite a bracha on a minhag, and he broadens the Gemara in Sukkah about the Hoshana, that you never recite a bracha on a minhag. So what business do we have making a bracha over the minig of the menorah? So this is, I wanted to suggest this myself, and I found something similar in Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So now, perhaps we can answer the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi, I'll pee the Rivash, based on the Rivash. And this is what we said a moment ago. This that the Rambam doesn't bring the minug, that's because the Rivash says that the whole purpose of the minug was to supplement the fact that we're not Makayim Prisui Nisa Barabim. So in the days of the Rambam, they still used to light outside, and therefore they had that full mitzvah. They had the full-blown mitzvah. That's why the Rambam doesn't discuss lighting inside. It was only Bizman the Rishonim Achronim that the minug changed to light Bifnim because of Sakana, and that's when they were Mechadish to light in the shul like the Rivash. So this answers part of the Chacham Tzvi's kasha, why the Rambam makes no mention of it, because in the times of the Rambam they were still lighting outside.
But the Rivash says it's a minig vasikin.
It's an early minig, yeah, so it might
so
not
be. Have to be so early if it was only a recent development.
Earlier from him.
Uh-huh, okay.
I mean, you have to say that at the end, the Rambam doesn't bring it. That's facts, right? That's the facts. The Rambam doesn't bring it, and the Rivash says it was an early minig. So obviously it evolved after the Rambam, right? The only question was, again, like I said before, if it's such a good minig and such an important minig, why didn't the Rambam institute it? That would be the cut.
Right.
But the Rivash's explanation, it fits like a glove, because the whole purpose of a minig was to supplement the fact that we're not being Mekayim Pesunim Nisa Barabim. So that didn't exist in the times of the Rambam. Now, what about the main part?
His Lashon says it too, Harishonim Acharonim.
Yeah, that was my Lashon.
That's
what I wrote. So it fits.
Well, that's now, it fits.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but hold on. Right, but the Mice of the Rambam.
Right.
Could be. Now,
that'll be a different
shot,
yeah.
Now, here's the question. The Chacham Tzvi's main question was, the thrust of the main question, besides the fact that the Rambam doesn't bring it, the thrust of the question was, how can we recite a bracha over the Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses if the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam taka paskin that you don't recite a bracha on any minig based on the Gemara in Sukkah? So it could be that the Rambam would agree to Ner Chanukah based on the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Bracha. So the Brisker Rav says that the Brisker Rav asks a Meridik Akasha. He brings the Rishonim, the Ran, for example. How can we recite a bracha over matzah on the second day of Pesach? Or on the lulav on the second day of Sukkot, right? Why are we keeping 2 days Yom Tov? We're keeping 2 days Yom Tov, Sveikad de Yoima, because it's a doubt. Nowadays, we're Bikia Bikfia de Yarcha. We know exactly the calendar. So it's Minigas Emi Adev. So how can we recite brachas based on a minik? That's the question.
It's a minhag or gzera?
Oh, very good. So the Ran asks this question, and the Ran answers what you just said, that the second day Yom Tov for us is a takana. It's not a minhag, it's a takana.
Okay, so we can change it.
We can make a bracha, we can't change it, and we can make a bracha on a takana. Another way of explaining this is, because the reason you can't recite a bracha on a minhag is because we can't say v'tzivanu, and since we can't say v'tzivanu, so you happen to say we're commanded to perform the minhag if we're not. So again, the second day of Yom Tov is a takana, so since it's a takana, you can say v'tzivanu and you can say a bracha. Right. The problem is, the Brisker Rav there brings many places where the Rambam continues to say that the second day of Yom Tov is a minhag. He refers to it over consistently as a minhag. The Rambam says that in his Hagdama, and consistently throughout, whenever he talks about Yom Tov Sheni, he always refers to it as a minhag. Now, not that you're allowed to not do it. You have to do it, but it's considered a minhag.
Not like what you said about Arvid. It's also a minhag.
Rishus. Ma'ariv is Rishus. But we were, you're right. Ma'ariv is Rishus. The expression is it's a Rishus, and we were Makab. So there's a machlekes Shoshanim. So Taisus held that when we say Ma'ariv is a Rishus, we don't really mean it's a Rishus. It just means that other mitzvahs would take precedence over it. And the Rif says that Ma'ariv is really a Rishus, but we accepted it upon ourselves as an obligation. But the Lashon of the Ran is that Yom Tov Sheni is a full force, is a full fledged takana, but the Rambam consistently calls it a minhag. So in the Rambam's world, that it's a minhag, why do we recite a bracha? Now, it's interesting to note that the Rambam holds that every minhag that Chazal instituted, it's like a very interesting, like it's like a paradox a little bit, that Chachamim are mesakin something b'toiras minhag. It's almost like a contradiction in terms. Oh. But there's a concept here that they instituted a minhag. And the Rambam says in his Hagdama that your oiver loy sasur, right, the same mitzvah d'oraisa loisasser that requires us to listen to the Chachamim's takanas also applies to the minhagi chazal. So whatever the difference is between a takana and a minhag, they both are backed by the pasuk of loisasser min hadvar mashay yigidu l'cha yaminusbal. So we have to. So why don't we recite a bracha on a minhag according to the Rambam? It's not because we can't say v'tzivanu. It's not because we don't have to do it. We have to do it. So why don't we recite a bracha? So says the Brisker Rav, we don't recite a bracha because b'cheftza, it's not a mitzvah. We can't say a birkas ha-mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah. Even though we have to do it, but it's not in the category of a mitzvah. However, Yom Tov Sheni, eating matzah on the second day of Pesach, is clearly a ma'isa mitzvah. The force, the teeth, the leverage that we have to do the minhag, even if we refer to it as a minhag, is leisaser. So we have to do it, but the minhag is to do a mitzvah. It's a little bit like you're saying that we accepted it upon ourselves. But the force of the minhag, which is leisaser, forces us, we're required to do this mitzvah. It's a ma'isa mitzvah. So chibur arava, when you hit the rava, whatever the minhag of chibur arava is, it doesn't represent a ma'isa mitzvah. It's a custom. Masha'en kein, when the minhag is to apply a ma'isa mitzvah, then it's a category of mitzvah, and therefore you can make a bracha, you can recite a birkas a mitzvah. It's not because you can't say v'tzivanu, because you would be able to say v'tzivanu. It's just a rule that you only recite a birkas hamitzvah over a ma'isa mitzvah. So if it's a briskavart. So if it's a minhag, it's not meant to be a mitzvah, then you can't recite a birkas hamitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah, then you can recite a birkas hamitzvah.
The briskavart does not make this connection, but you're applying that idea here.
He does not apply it to Hanukkah. I'm applying it over here. Yeah. So this sense. That we don't make a brach on a minhag according to the Rambam is not because you don't say b'tzivanu, because the Rambam's opinion in his Hagdama is that on a minhag you're subject to leisaser. The reason is because on a cheft on a cheftza shel minig, they weren't misakin a bracha. But be'oifin de'etzim cheftza hu mitzvah, even though the mechayiv is a minhag, it's roi to make a bracha, you make a bracha. So since, this is my suggestion, so since the hadlaka in shul is in order to complement, to supplement the presumei nisa that we're missing in our hadlaka b'chutz, it's considered a chelik of the mitzvah of hadlaka, and it's shy to make a bracha. So now I found... So the Rambam says that halal is the Brisker Rav. He struggles with that. He says that that's a kriya. It's not a mitzvah. It's a kriya. Yeah. Now shubra isi. So I wrote that I found such a thing. No, not in Rosh Chodesh. So I found such a thing in Halicha Shloima from Shlomo Zalman in Hilchos Chanukah. He said he has a little bit of a different sprach, a different nusach. He says that the Rambam considers it a mitzvah because it was nishtarviv meh mitzvah, because it's an extension of the mitzvah. But it could be like we're explaining, and it could be based on the Brisker Rav. It's just a different way of saying the same thing, that it it's a chelik of the mitzvah, so it is a minhag, but the minhag is to do this part of the mitzvah. Now the moedim uzmanim, he says, now Toby, you made this point before, in the moedim uzmanim, so he writes that in Eretz Yisrael, where they started, they reenacted to light back outside, so the chura, you shouldn't light in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha, and he says, loy ra mishaher bezeh, he didn't see anybody who raised this point, this issue, that nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, we should stop lighting in shul, because according to the Rivash, the whole reason why we light in shul is to give us the extra half of the other half of the mitzvah, a presuminista barabim. Now, another interesting point is that the poiskim, they've done, is it proper to allow a child who's a gil chinuch to light the shul's menorah? So I actually saw that some people hold that you should bedafka get a child to do it because maybe the shiboli lek is right that it's a bracha v'tal. So maybe it's better to just get a kid to do it because he's not as muzer in bracha v'tal. But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, are you allowed to have a kavod? Assuming that it's a justifiable minig, which it is for us, that's what we do. Is it proper to have a child light the menorah in shul? So the Kshuvas and Hanhagas, so he writes the following. According to the Beis Yosef's reason that it's to be Moitzi the Orchim, in other words, let's go through the reasons. The Kolboy had three reasons. One reason was because people don't know how to do it, they're not going to do it, which we're explaining with the Beis Yosef. He means to say that we're being Moitzi people in shul who are Orchim in shul, assuming that's what the Kolboy means, that's what the Beis Yosef says. The second reason was for Pesume Nisa, which we can explain based on the Rivash. And the third reason, he says, was Zeche LeMikdash. So according to the reason of the Beis Yosef, that it's to be Moitzi Acherim, right? Then a cotton can't do it. Just like you would never get a cotton to recite the Kiddush Shul. The cotton drinks the wine because we weren't Yotze, but you would never get a cotton to recite the Kiddush Shul. It would defeat the purpose of the Kiddush to be Moitzi the Orchim. Now, I suggested myself that according to the Rivash, that it's Presume Nisa Barabim. So at first glance, you would say that if the purpose of the Hadlaka is merely to do Pirsum Hanisa, so then maybe a cotton could light it. But according to the Rivash, that it was actually coming to be Mashlim, the Presume Minisa that we were lacking ourselves, that's perhaps it's like you're being moitzi and we make a bracha on it, like we're saying in the Biskarab and the Rambam. Maybe you have to, maybe an adult should light it as well, because there is an element here of being moitzi the Rabbim, the presuminisa that we're missing with our own halakha. It's a chelik of the mitzvah, and it would be better for a gadol to light, just like Megillah, that just like when it comes. Yeah. Now, but according to the reason of Zeche LeMikdash, then perhaps it will be Mutter Ayidei Katan. So that's the chiddush of this, that it depends on the reasons of why we're lighting in shul, whether or not it would be appropriate to have a cotton light or not. Now, the Binyan Shlomo says the following. The minhag, this is a beautiful piece, the minhag of lighting the menorah in the morning, where does that come from, right? Because until now we were saying that it has to do with something with the mitzvah, Presumi Nisa, or it has to do with the Rivash, to be Mashal in the Presumi Nisa, or to be Moitzi the Orchim, or Zeche LeMikdash. Why are we lighting the menorah in the morning? So it's interesting, because we just look at it like, why not? It's a nice thing to do, right?
Yeah, right.
No bracha.
But we don't just do things because there's no reason not, why not, right? There has to have a reason. So why are we lighting the menorah in shul in the morning? Hold on. So the minute to light in shul, so it would make sense based on the third reason of the Kol Mozeich LeMikdash, but not so fast, Ezra, because it depends. Most Rishonim hold that they did not light the menorah in the morning, right? In the morning, it's called Hatovas Haner, and then in the afternoon, it was called Halos Haner, right? They lit them there. So we're only lighting in the afternoon, so why are we lighting in the morning? So based on the Rambam Shita in Tamidim and Musafim, the Rambam holds that included in the mitzvah of Hatovas Haner was to light the menorah in the morning also. So the Rambam held, this is not something that we realize right away, it's not readily apparent, the Rambam held that the menorah was going 24/7, right? So it's not so, the Rashba in the Tshuva asks on the Rambam, because the Gemara's talk about how in the times of Shimon HaTzadik, the Nair lasted, it doesn't sound like the whole menorah was constantly being relit, but the Rambam Shita, and we have to answer all the Gemara's that seem to say otherwise, but the Rambam Shita was that the Nair Cham, that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was lit 24/7 around the clock. It was lit at night, and if it went ever was out by the morning, they would relight it in the morning. So the Nair in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was lit 24/7, it was constantly burning. So perhaps the reason to light candles in shul in the morning is the third reason of the call by Zeche LeMikdash, according to the Rambam, that the Nair would be lit morning and evening.
What's the Rambam's raya for that? I mean, like, besides being the Rambam, he can say that, but like,
because he holds that the Rambam's expression is that the Hatava Saneris, hold it means to clean the menorah, right? But the Hatava, like the beautifying of the menorah, is to have the candle lit also.
Uh-huh. Now, why wouldn't you light it mincha if you daven mincha early? When does the kollel daven mincha? 2:00?
2:45.
So why wouldn't you light
it? So why? Because you want to have it lit all the time.
It's based on the idea that the Rambam sheet that the candles were lit 24 hours.
So probably, that's a very good question. Probably the reason is because we're not going to light it if there's no presuming. You see, either they don't come, we'd light it between Mincha Marav. So Mincha Marav covers that.
You would light it without a bracha say for the Mikdash.
So the Rambam says that they would light the menorah at night. Right, it was my expression. They have 24 hours, but they light it at night, and in the morning to do hatava, they would relight it if it went out. It doesn't say that they'd be constantly checking on it. I use the expression 24/7. I misspoke. The Rambam says that they would light it in the evening, and then the next morning, if it went out, they would light it again in the morning. So that's where we would get to light it once in the evening, once in the morning.
If you would light it by mincha, I would assume you would run into a problem that people would start to get confused and think they can light it earlier than before shkia.
That's a good point. That's a good point. The reason given is because we wait for the Pesuminista when people show up. So we do it in between Mincha and Merif.
And it's not a problem to set the bracha because there's man, it's like at the end.